Good afternoon, colleagues. We are continuing our series of conferences in the run-up to the annual general shareholders meeting. We are halfway through. Three of the six press conferences have already been held. We have been discussing our production power assets, and today we will be discussing our Far Eastern assets. Attending today are Deputy Chairman of the Management Committee, Mr. Vitaly Markelov; Deputy Chair of the Management Committee, Director General of Gazprom Export, Ms. Yelena Bumisteva; members of Management Committee and Head of Department, Mr. Sergey Minshikov and Mr. Vyacheslav Mykhailenko; and Head of Department, Mr. Pavel Odarov. The materials for the press conference have been distributed and are available on the website, so we are ready to take your questions, please. TASS.
Good afternoon, Olga Tityayeva. I would like to ask about the negotiations about gas supplies to China from the Far East. Can you give us some color on the volumes and dates, and how are the negotiations going about the Power of Siberia regarding gas supplies to China?
Hello, thank you for your question. I would say this is a traditional question. As you may know, the agreement on the key terms of the supplies was signed back in December 2017. Right now, the talks are ongoing, and these are quite intense. The Chinese partners are willing to purchase additional volumes, but the final parameters, the final volumes have not been approved yet. So negotiations continue underway, and once anything new comes up, we will share that with you. Regarding the Western Route or the Power of Siberia 2 project, again, as you may know, the negotiations started back in 2009. And since we are discussing the Eastern theme today, as the Chinese proverb says, it only takes one step to begin a huge journey. So that step was made back in 2009, and I hope these talks will be successful because both the governments of Russia and China see this as very important.
Next question, please.
Tina Khrenkova from Bloomberg. On gas supplies from the Power of Siberia 1, what is your view of gas supplies in December this year when the supplies start, and what is your target for supplies for 2020? What's your target for the Power of Siberia supplies?
Well, as we have been saying in our press releases and statements, our target is 38 million cubic meters per year, and when we reach plateau in 2025, this is when we are planning to reach this volume, and the deliveries are to take place on the 1st of December, which we believe will be a milestone for us, and it will open the path for Russian gas into China.
And a follow-up question, if I may. What is your view of natural gas and LNG consumption in China, especially given the trade wars China is currently engaged in with the U.S.? And do you see a rise in world gas supplies and how it may impact prices in the region?
If we talk about China, gas consumption volumes went up last year by 18% year-on-year, reaching 280 million cubic meters of gas. And we expect that the growth rates will not be going down to any considerable extent. Regarding the pricing, we have been witnessing some very mixed trends. For example, in the peak period of 2017 to 2018, there was a marked rise in demand, and internal production could not cover that demand. So exports were ramped up, and at the same time, pipeline gas supplies from Central Asia were going down.
So that explains the peak of that period. As for the autumn period of 2018 and 20, yes, of that autumn period, there was a slight decline in prices. That's because of the weather conditions. With the normal weather for the upcoming autumn and winter period, we expect prices to be at their normal winter levels, considering potential peaks.
Artur Toporkov, Vedomosti, next question. Previously, there were reports that the export capacity of the power of Siberia may be increased by 10 billion cubic meters due to increased plateau of production at the Kvikta field. Have there been any specific negotiations with the Chinese partners, for example, commercial terms? For example, increased capacity of supplies under the agreement. Is that currently under discussion, given China's demand for gas?
Let me phrase it like this. First, I've already answered part of your question, because indeed, our Chinese partners are very interested in additional volumes, but we have not arrived at a final number for those volumes, and we have not arrived at an agreement over price. But we do hope that an agreement is coming soon, and we hope that our investors will be happy about potential increases in the power of Siberia supplies. And a follow-up question. The Far Eastern route, there were reports that the preliminary terms, including the volume of supplies, the maximum volume of supplies, and the timed plateau, and so on, have already been signed with China, but no specific numbers have been announced. Can you announce it now?
Well, unfortunately, I cannot provide this information right now because the sale and purchase agreement has not been signed yet. And during the negotiating stage, we traditionally do not provide that information. But I've been saying we've started negotiations on the power of Siberia back in 2009. And I hope that it will not take us that long, because as we understand, the target market in China is growing rapidly. There is strong demand for gas in the south eastern part, and everything depends on the increase in infrastructure capacity and the demand from our Chinese partners. Further questions, Interfax.
Hello, Anton Khlyshenko, Interfax. Recently, there were reports that Sakhalin Energy received the right to sell LNG directly to China and is currently entering into 6 contracts. Can you give us some color about the volume of those contracts, what companies those are being signed with, why the scheme of sales through Gazprom marketing and trading was dropped, and will that mechanism apply to other countries?
Thank you. You know, as of today, first of all, we cannot say that Gazprom marketing and trading stopped purchasing gas from Sakhalin 2. Gazprom marketing and trading is one of the off-takers under long-term contracts. And in its portfolio, there is 0.9 million tons of supplies annually. Also, there are spot volumes purchased by Gazprom Marketing and Trading. As from Sakhalin Energy Investment and Company, we are perfectly aware of the fact that the company was and continues to sell some of its volumes directly. There were indeed agreements signed, but those are so-called master sales agreements, not sale and purchase agreements. And PetroChina is one of the contractors in China. This is a way to optimize sales and to sell in the spot market.
Thank you. Further questions?
What is the current status of the third train of the Sakhalin LNG plant?
And how are you doing in terms of finding the resource base for it? Initially, it was planned that in the first quarter of this year, there will be resource base defined for it. And what are the potential timelines for this project to be commissioned? And another question, are there any other projects that you are considering or may potentially be considering with Japanese partners? As you may know, in June 2015, Gazprom and Shell signed a roadmap to implement the extension of the third train of Sakhalin 2. And in January and February 2018, we completed the FEED documentation, that's front-end engineering documentation, and we also received positive reviews from the State Review Board, Glafgos Expertise, and right now we are drafting design documents for the LNG plant and for all the other facilities. And Mr. Markelov, maybe he will comment on the resource base here. Could you please repeat the second part of your question? As far as we know, the resource base that will supply resources to the third train, there has been some uncertainty. We do not yet know where that gas will be coming from. You've been considering the Yuzhno-Kirinskaya field. There was a potential partnership with Sakhalin 1. But again, as far as I know, there has been no final decision on that. Okay, let me answer that again. Indeed, you are right. There have been no official statements on that matter. We are currently engaged in talks with potential suppliers of gas for the project, and once the negotiations are completed, we will announce that officially. And your second question was about new additional projects with Japanese partners. Right now, we are considering a potential project to build a small tonnage LPG plant, or rather LNG plant, near Vladivostok. That's 1.5 million tons. And we have a memorandum signed to that end with Mitsui. And also, we do not rule out the involvement of Mitsui and Mitsubishi in the extension of the third train of Sakhalin 2. Let me add here that the resource base for the small-scale LNG plant is our resource base. That's what we are considering for that. Thank you. Any further questions? Yes. Tatiana Kudryashova, RIA Novosti. I would like to follow up on the following. Your proposal to Pakistan in 2018 on LNG supplies. Did you receive any response from Pakistan, and are the talks ongoing? What are the potential volumes here, and also Bahrain? This country has more than once announced its interest in LNG supplies for its terminal currently under construction. So are there any specific negotiations, and what are the volumes here? These are good questions. Thank you. Indeed, we have been involved in those talks. But right now, regarding Pakistan, we are no longer engaged in those. And I guess Mr. Odirov is ready to comment. Indeed, Pakistan did hold a tender for large LNG supplies, and we did participate, but we did not win. And I must admit that I do not know what is the current status of that Pakistani tender. But the formats that we used to pursue, we are no longer pursuing that. And the second part of your question, indeed, we were building a working group to discuss potential supplies to Bahrain. That means LNG supplies. But right now, we are not focused on that, so there are no specific talks that we are engaged in.
Thank you. We also have journalists from Moscow connected to us, so let's go over to Moscow. Questions, please. Energy intelligence. Question to Ms. Burmistrova. You said you were hoping to successfully complete the talks on the Eastern Route. Can you tell us when you're planning to do that? This year, maybe next week? Thank you. Thank you so much. But I think I have said the same information for around 3 times, including quotations from Chinese proverbs. But I'm afraid I have to reiterate here that we are engaged in talks, so the negotiations are ongoing, and once any contract is signed, we will share that with you and also with our investors and with all the stakeholders by issuing an official press release. Thank you. Then a question to Mr. Markelov. What is the current status of a project to build a pipeline from Iran to India? Is it still under consideration? Thank you so much for your question. There was a memorandum signed with the Iranian oil company on a project like this that you are referring to. Gazprom International was getting started to carry out a feasibility study for this pipeline construction as part of supplies to India. Currently, 2 documents have been signed with the Iranian oil company and also with the Pakistani partners related to the feasibility study. But we have not started that work as of today. Any other questions? Anastasia Gurova, Argus Media. I'd like to follow up on Sakhalin 3 with several questions. In addition to the Yuzhno-Kirinskoye field, and Sakhalin 1, are there any other fields in Sakhalin that you are considering for the third train? That's my first question. My second question, should I ask all of them at once or? Yes, please go ahead with all the questions that you have. Okay, my second question is as follows. When are you planning to sign an EPC contract to develop the Yuzhno-Kirinskoye field and construct the third train? There was a merger between Technip and FMC. So is there a chance that the United Merged Company may win this EPC contract because it is no longer an American company? I guess it is London-based or something like that. That's my second question. And my third question is where you will be separating propane, butane, and helium fractions from the Chayanda field until the Amur gas processing plant is up and running. So these are my first 3 questions, and I am hoping to ask some more. Can you please repeat your first question? As far as I know, the Yuzhno-Kirinskoye field and the field of Sakhalin 1 are being considered as the resource base for the third train. Apart from those fields, are there any other fields in Sakhalin or any other fields in Sakhalin that may soon be considered for the third train? That's my first question.
The second question was about EPC contracts. Should I repeat that? Let us first handle the question about the fields. The gas fields are Sakhalin 1, Sakhalin 2, and Sakhalin 3. So we are considering all opportunities to supply gas to the next train of the project. Regarding EPC contracts, the EPC contract for the Yuzhno-Kirinskaya field, is that what you have been asking? Yes, when are you planning to sign that contract? And is there a chance that the merged US and French company may win this EPC contract? Do you mean equipment supplier or the EPC contractor? Well, both actually, either an EPC contractor or the equipment supplier. Thank you for your question. Today, the Yuzhno-Kirinskaya field development is going as planned, as approved by Mr. Miller. The commission date is 2023. The capacity will be 1 BCM of gas per year, and there will be 37 wells to provide for that amount. In 2018, we drilled 4 wells to reach the pay zone, and right now, or rather this year, we will be drilling another several wells, or rather 4 wells. Currently, we are at the stage of selecting equipment for the field, and we will be developing the infrastructure for that field using our own resources. As for Technip and FMC, I guess here you're referring to the equipment supply. Indeed, we have been considering that. And I can say that we still consider FMC among other potential suppliers. For example, General Electric is also willing to participate as a supplier of equipment for underground production. So will there be no EPC contract signed for the Yuzhno-Kirinskaya field? I mean the EPC contract as such. Will there be such a contract signed with any specific single company? Because in your interview with a guest from corporate newspaper, you said that there will be an EPC contract signed. That's why I'm asking whether there will be a contract of that kind. And you're apparently saying there will be none. Right now, we are at the stage of design works. And once those are completed, we will be signing a contract. When will that be completed? This year. This year, we will have that stage completed and move on to the next stage. And when is the deadline for the final investment decision on the third train, because it is being delayed further and further? Do you have any new deadline here? I am currently referring to the front-end engineering and design documents. Or rather, I'm referring to the final investment decision. Previously, you were saying that the decision will be made in the first quarter of this year, but apparently you postponed that date. I can say here that there is an additional volume of work that we need to complete here. And as has already been mentioned, the key thing here is to lock in our arrangements for the resources for the third train, and we also need to run a tender for an EPC contractor. So once those two events finally take place, then all the project participants will be ready to make final investment decision, FID.
and we are on track to reach positive decision. Who will be those EPC contractors, or I mean potential EPC contractors? Who are those potential suppliers? Indeed, you are right. There will be a number of large EPC contractors that will be qualified to bid in our tender. I believe it would be inappropriate right now to give you specific company names outside of the official tendering procedure. Thank you. Any further questions? If I may, a couple of questions, maybe follow-up questions, again about the Yuzhno-Kirinskaya field. I'm sorry, but I still do not understand the situation with the equipment. Back in winter, you signed an agreement with Almaz-Antey to receive some input substitution equipment, including offshore gas production. So what was the focus of that? What field did you have in mind? And will Almaz-Antey be participating in your tender for the Yuzhno-Kirinskaya field together with international companies? And generally, what is that contract with Almaz-Antey about? And also, do you have a specific plan to develop the Yuzhno-Lunskaya field? When may it be commissioned? And what, how much gas are you planning to produce? And will it be supplied to your existing LNG or to Vladivostok LNG? So what are your plans for Yuzhno-Lunskaya? Thank you, indeed. We are currently looking at different producers of equipment, of different manufacturers of equipment, and we are engaged in joint efforts with the Russian ministry to provide for Russian-made equipment for gas production. And under the contract, the first results are to be ready this year, and that means that we will be ready to pilot test our Russian-made equipment. But still, I would say that this is too early to talk about specific dates. And you've also been asking about the Yuzhno-Lunskaya field. The first field we are considering as the resource base is definitely the Kirinskaya field, because it is in the highest level of readiness in terms of supplies. And the second priority is the Yuzhno-Kirinskaya field, which is currently in the design stage. So you have no specific plans for the Yuzhno-Lunskaya, right? Well, it's a fairly small field, so there are two other main fields that we are focused on right now. Another question from Anastasia before we go back to St. Petersburg. Actually, I've already asked that about the Chayanda field, the propane fractions that I was referring to earlier. Yes, indeed, you've asked that already. Our plant to process gas from the Chayanda and Kirinskaya fields will be launched in 2021. That's the Amur gas processing plant. And before that, starting this year, gas with increased content of propane and butane fraction will be supplied via pipeline to China. And there will be helium treatment unit at our site, and there will be pumping back into the reservoir. And I'm sorry, of course, I meant the Kavikta field. It's Kavikta and Chayanda. Have you raised project financing for the Amur gas processing plant? And if not, when are you planning to do that?
Today, we are looking into the matter of raising project financing. And right now, the construction is being carried out using Gazprom's CAPEX program.
Thank you. Interfax. Another question, what is the competence center that will be built by Gazprom on the Ruski island? What will be the personnel, the size, and the competencies as well? Thank you so much. It was an instruction by Russian President Vladimir Putin. And that instruction was announced at the Vladivostok Economic Forum. In line with that, we are creating and establishing our own engineering arm in the Far Eastern Federal District, that is the Ruski Island. And we will be developing gas liquefaction technologies over there. And we have already discussed and signed all the necessary documents on site. And we have signed a roadmap on that project that lays out Gazprom's involvement in this project, and we are engaged with the Ministry of the Far East on that matter. Any further questions? Bloomberg. Recently, tender documents were published under which Gazprom Geologorazvedka is considering receiving a listing on one of the stock exchanges in Asia Pacific. What are those plans and what are the potential timelines? Those were tender documents in Southeast Asia. So Gazprom Geologorazvedka is looking into potential listing opportunities in global financial centers, including in Southeast Asia, outside of Russia, yes. Let me answer that. I believe it is about Gazprom's operations in Southeast Asian countries. Gazprom has been operating in Vietnam for quite a long time. We produce gas in blocks there, and we also looking into potential development at another block with potential construction of a power plant. And we are also starting to build an LNG plant in Vietnam. So as you can see, we have quite a lot of projects underway in Vietnam. And very recently, Vietnamese Prime Minister paid a visit discussing, among other things, Gazprom's cooperation and projects in this regard. I can say that we are also active in Bangladesh as part of a services contract for drilling. And there have been no complaints or issues whatsoever. The quality of our work is very high, and Bangladesh is considering us for further projects, including upstream projects in Bangladesh. And certainly there is China, which is our priority partner, and we will be supplying gas using the Power of Siberia pipeline starting December of 2019. We are looking into potential joint projects in the areas of underground gas storage, power, gas motor fuel, new types of products, and so on. So as you can see, a wide range of potential projects with China. That's CNOOC and CNPC. Those are the companies that we have cooperation agreements with. Ведомости, please. I have a follow-up question on the gas mix in the Far East. Some time ago, you reached an agreement with Rosneft to supply several billion cubic meters for the
Eastern Oil Chemical Company. There was instruction from the president, so you did reach a general agreement. Rosneft said under the current economic conditions, it does not view this construction as economically feasible. And as far as I know, there will be a new pipeline to the to this oil and chemical facility. So first, does the cancellation of these plans simplify your challenge in terms of balancing your gas mix in the Far East? And my second question is very high level. What are the company's priorities in terms of gas? Because there are domestic off-takers, there are pipeline exports, and there is monetization opportunity through your Sakhalin project. So what are your priorities here? You are correct in saying that we have not started. We have started designing the trunk pipeline for the project you are referring to, and that is almost ready. And just like you, we have learned from media reports that the Eastern Oil and Chemical Facility will not be erected. But officially, we have not yet received a response from Rosneft that the plans are suspended. Currently, we are preparing an official request to Rosneft, and we will announce once we receive any additional information. But apart from this oil and chemical facility, there are other facilities and off-takers as well. So once we receive the official response, I guess we will be adjusting the capacity of the trunk pipeline to cover the needs of those off-takers. Thank you. And what about the second question, the strategic priorities? Let me add here that certainly in its projects to monetize gas and gas reserves, Gazprom is first of all focused on its financial capabilities and strategic objectives. So I would say right now it would be inappropriate to give you priorities in terms of any specific numbers, because that, among other things, depends on our foreign contractors, including China, and the timing of the sale and purchase contracts. RIA Novosti. I have a follow-up question on Iran again. I wanted to ask about your interest for participating in a gas pipeline construction from Iran to Oman. Oman was supposed to be engaged in talks with Washington to receive a special permit to go ahead with the project. So are you following those developments, and what is the current status of that? Thank you. We do follow all the developments and news in the oil and gas industry. And certainly the projects that you are referring to, the Iran to Oman pipeline, is on our radar as well. I can say that regarding this project, Gazprom has not announced its interest for that. So do you have completely no interest to participate? Well, we have just identified our priorities here. And as I've been saying, we have partners that I've just mentioned. Question, but you had memoranda signed for four fields in Iran, and you were previously saying that one of the potential uses of that field will be that pipeline. So I gather there was interest from Gazprom for that project. Does that mean there is no longer that interest? I can say that we're considering all opportunities for gas supplies.
But here I must say that our work to get involved in the Iranian project is currently underway. Those efforts have not been completed. So it is very, very premature to be talking about what you're asking. So we're currently considering our involvement, potential involvement with the Iranian fields, the four fields. And right now we are in talks with our Iranian partners. Ведомости, please. I'd like to follow up on the status of the program to produce gas in the offshore of Kamchatka. I guess your expectations did not materialize, and there were also issues of prospective demand in Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky and Kamchatka. And right now, there are plans to cover demand in the region using an LNG terminal. Does that make it easier for you, or do you have any other plans regarding production in that region? Thank you for your question. If I'm not mistaken, in 2009, we started gas supplies to Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky. Right now, we have a stable so-called plateau of our supplies, I would say, and we need to look into potential ramping up of that volumes, given increased demand in Kamchatka. And there are a variety of options here, offshore and onshore options as well. I guess Mr. Menshikov could comment further here, but I can say that the amount of consumption in Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky is quite a lot. And if there was an energy savings program in the region, it would be much easier in terms of consumption in the region, in terms of needs in the region. And right now we are in discussion with the ministry in order to make sure that the region does introduce energy savings. Right now that's 340 million cubic meters per year, and there are plans to increase it to 700, if I'm not mistaken. Was that based on potential demand rise? Do you now believe that 340 is enough? I can say that I believe that the energy saving potential is quite considerable there. Let me add quite briefly here. Gazprom has an exploration program until 2030, and Kamchatka is covered, including onshore and offshore reserves. So we are currently engaged in geologic exploration and 3D surveys, and also that involves drilling marine wells. And that's part of the license that we took over from Rosneft. And those are Noyabrsky 1 and Noyabrsky 2 blocks. And there will be an increase in gas reserves. And after that, we will estimate our reserves and look into development. As for production that is already underway, we have two fields there. We are planning to build booster pumping stations this year. And there will be around 250 million cubic meters for Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky out of 320 million cubic meters, depending on the actual consumption in Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky. Interfax, please. What is the potential
to sign an agreement for Prime for transshipment of LPG. Are there any alternative options? Thank you for your question indeed. Right now, we continue negotiations and discussions to sign an agreement that you're referring to. And Prime is preparing documents as required for an EPC contract. Also, we received an offer from Sibur Holding to purchase those volumes and to use them for polymer production. Right now, we are considering all those options and also supplies of LPG using railway and motor vehicles. No final decision has been made and discussions are ongoing. Thank you. Any further questions? Then a question that was received online. S&P Global Platts. What are your plans to use helium in Covington Chayanda? When are you planning to use helium? Until 2021, pumping helium back into reservoirs. That's unfortunately the only opportunity for us because the first helium supplies will begin in 2021 when the Amur gas processing plants, train one, becomes operational. And after that, there will be 16 million cubic meters of production. So the answer is 2021. That's when we will be beginning to use helium. And let me add some more on that. I'd like to thank all of you for the press conference. And I can finally announce it this year. This year is the year of the Power of Siberia. This is a major milestone project for us. That's more than 2,000 kilometers of trunk pipeline. And there will be also a pumping station put into operation. And we're currently working on a helium unit. And it is unique because it relies only on Russian-made technologies. And on the 1st of December, we will start our gas supplies to China. So congratulations to all of us. That's quite some news. Thank you so much. Goodbye.